Do you think that politics, and specifically President Trump's stated objections to Amazon publicly, played any role in Microsoft's being awarded this contract?
I think, if anything, Microsoft staying out of politics and staying focused on what the customer's needs are really stood out.
That is Satya Nadella commenting on Microsoft winning the coveted JEDI contract from the U.S. Department of Defense, beating out Amazon for the $10 billion, 10-year Pentagon cloud deal. It's one of the comments the Microsoft CEO made in an interview with GeekWire in advance of the November 5th release of the paperback edition of his book, Hit Refresh, with a new afterword addressing the latest developments at Microsoft and in the larger world since the book was published 2 years ago. I'm GeekWire editor Todd Bishop, and I sat down with Satya Nadella at Microsoft headquarters in Redmond, Washington this week to dive deeper on several of the key themes that he addresses in the update. It's been a couple of years since you came out with your book, Hit Refresh, and the paperback is coming out on November 5th. It's been an eventful 2 years, and one of the things that's changed significantly is that Microsoft became the most valuable company in the world again, 20 years after it first achieved this milestone. And you write in the new afterword that people at the company here saw it differently the second time around than they did the first. What was different?
You know, to me, it's as much an aspiration for us to say we want to see it differently. And in some sense, it goes back to the core of what we celebrate. Success is important. But you have to sort of remember that your success has to have come from some sense of purpose that is something that you needs to endure. And so that means you have to ask yourself, why are we successful? We are successful in our case because both of our mission and business model is dependent on others being successful. So when we say we have somehow achieved some milestone, we better be in touch with what was the thing that in the first place got us to be successful. And to me, in 2019 in particular, as a tech company, I think that the excessive celebration of technology and tech companies is not what it's all about. We as a world need to make sure that digital technology is helping us create more equitable growth in all communities, in all countries. And that means our success has to be based on success around us. And that's what I mean by that.
The new afterword to Hit Refresh explains Microsoft's evolving worldview by paraphrasing New York Times columnist David Brooks from his book, Second Mountain, in which he says that the second mountain in life is about moving from a focus on self to a focus on service and requires a declaration of interdependence.
Yeah, you quote David Brooks in his book.
Second Mountain, yeah.
Exactly, and his declaration of interdependence. What does that mean for Microsoft in practical terms?
For example, one of the things, Todd, which for me gives me the greatest source of pride, energy, of working at Microsoft is when I go to any place, whether I'm in Atlanta or in Seattle or I'm in Mumbai or in Beijing, I get to sort of say, okay, how did Microsoft's participation in that community, in that country, lead to a small business becoming more productive? How do we make multinationals from those communities more competitive, successful, growing employment? How does public sector there become more efficient? How is health outcome being changed, educational outcomes? Because that's the opportunity people at Microsoft get, which is we get to contribute to all that. And unless we can even anecdotally, right, it's not just the aggregate numbers. It's that ability to have those anecdotes, those stories, those people. That's what it's all about. And so to me, that's, I think, what we're seeking.
That is something that's become clear at Microsoft over the last few years under your leadership. And I think it comes through in the afterword to the book, is that you are not just trying to create technology. You're trying to help others create technology.
And that's exactly right. I mean, it's one of the interesting data points, which I write as well, which actually comes from LinkedIn, is if you think about the number of software engineers, digital capable engineers who are getting hired outside of what is considered the tech industry, is now more than in the tech industry. right? That crossover has happened in the last year and a half or so. And so now that means everybody is a software company. And so our core mission is to sort of really help them build that capability.
After reading your quote of your paraphrase of David Brooks, I was then surprised by something that came at the end of the afterword, and that was this sentence. Borders are realities we should acknowledge, and every country will put their interests first, as they should. And you write this to underscore the importance of local growth and opportunity in countries and regions around the world. But in a geopolitical context, it sounded to me a bit like a capitulation to nationalism, and it seemed to go against that principle of interdependence and the idea of serving society over self. How do you square those
absolutely.
Two things?
So, for example, I think the thing that we have to recognize is the first phase of globalization, if you want to call it that, which is whatever, you know, after the Berlin Wall, all through even 2016, if you want to sort of say, okay, that period was amazing. A lot was created. And in fact, I would say a middle class emerged even in Asia. And so the reality is there was a lot of goodness that came out of globalization, call it V1. The second phase of globalization has to tackle, though, that inequities that got created in every country. For us to say, hey, let's go back to globalization, the way it played out the last 20 years, it's just not possible because, you know, first of all, elections are all local. People have to be able to sort of really create that surplus locally. And so one of the things that we as a multinational company have to be grounded in it. That's where I feel so good about Microsoft's mission, right? Which is we can't go into a country and say, hey, you know, it's all about sort of the top people of the country participating. No, and being successful. We have to create local surplus. So that's what I mean. Borders are real because, you know, when we talk about equitable growth, the equitable growth can't be some global maxima. It has to have a local reality. The question now is, can we get to a place where every part of the world can grow equally, not only just grow as a country, but every community has equitable growth? That is the interdependence. For us to recognize that it's not about one company, it's not about the West Coast of the United States or the East Coast of China, it is about the world. And unless and until we accept that every part does have a comparative advantage, every part can, in fact, and even in a digital world, express its own comparative advantage in a globalized world, but then get local surplus.
At the same time, you are looking for at least national, if not global, norms in areas like artificial intelligence, facial recognition. How can you have those global norms if every country is looking out for its own interests with its own
ethics and
standards?
And that's a great question. In fact, that's kind of like take energy transition. We share global resources. Global norms come because of our interdependence,
right?
And so the fundamental thing is even in a world where everybody is, let's say, my country first, the fact that we share the globe, trade still needs to happen in order for us to have economic surplus. But it has to be fair. Climate is a shared resource. We better have a plan for energy transition as a global community. You know, those are the things that I think are good. And same thing around AI ethics, same thing around cyber. Who are the people who suffer the most from any cyber attack? It's the consumers of the world, the small businesses of the world. Every government in every country should care about that. And so therefore, I think if we put even our own interests, enlightened self-interest can sometimes lead to really us coming together as communities and as countries and as even a global community.
Speaking of economic forces, this is the Samsung Galaxy Note 10 Plus. You prompted me unknowingly to buy this phone because you stood up at Samsung's event and talked about the Windows integration, which has been a pain point for me since switching from Mac to back to Windows. And this is another example of something that is completely different now at Microsoft. Imagine 10 years ago if you had said that a Microsoft CEO had caused anybody to switch to Samsung and Android over an iPhone. I mean, it's a totally different world. Can you speak to what this represents for you?
Todd, I always go back even into our own long history and said, hey, look, we're always a software company, a tools company, a platform company. We have to put our users, you know, thank you for using Windows and switching back. And so we said, okay, if you have a pain point, that, hey, you need a phone that works well. That's what this partnership is all about. Like, what matters to me is what you care about, not some corporate agenda of mine. And because that's sort of the core of how we need to invent things. That's what led us to even build Office on the Mac first before Windows happened. So I want to reinvoke that core capability. And so that whether it's Surface Duo or the partnership with Samsung or support for Postgres on Azure, all of that is about making sure we're meeting customer needs and in compelling ways.
Well, I will have some user feedback that I can share offline on the Your Phone app on Windows. Yeah. There's some areas for improvement there.
Absolutely.
We can talk about that later.
We should take that.
You're listening to GeekWire, and we'll be right back with more from Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella discussing the new afterword in the paperback edition of his book, Hit Refresh.
I wanted a career in IT, but I didn't know where to start. WGU makes it simple. Their accredited online degree programs cover all kinds of IT specialties, and they have valuable industry certifications built in at no extra cost. The payoff? Having those certs back up my degree makes me look even better to future employers. A nonprofit university that includes top industry certs in their programs? I choose WGU. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.
Speaking of the Surface Duo, Surface Neo, can you explain what the coming wave of dual screen devices will mean for Microsoft?
Yeah, I mean, broadly, we are very always excited about sort of what's the change in form and function of computing devices that can help. And in our case, we care a lot about how do we ensure that in this plethora and abundance of devices, how can we as humans spend time on things that matter the most to us? How do we take that scarce commodity of attention? And this dual screens to me is a beautiful expression of what I'll call, expression and productivity, right? I mean, I look at the way I use both my Neo and Duo now, and it's I want to carry it with me everywhere. I want to be able to open it up, take notes. It's a beautiful pen-first experience. It's a Moleskine-like experience. And so I'm excited about the form factor. And we want to build, two versions of it, one on Windows, one on Android. And, of course, it's all about expressing Microsoft 365 applications. The device is just, that surface for what is our software experiences, and we're excited about it.
So you have been using the prototypes.
Yeah.
How has it changed what you do in a meeting or when you're walking around campus? How's it changed things for you?
It's one of those, what you do. Like, today, still, in spite of all of the touch-first devices, you use paper. In fact, this is the first time where I can walk confidently knowing that. And one of the other things I like to do is I like to annotate. I like to write. I like to do where I'm able to sort of read and communicate. Even on a Teams meeting, that's sort of a game changer for me, right? I do a lot of Teams meetings even on my phone. But this one, I can actually have the conversation happening, which is full video on one screen. And on another screen, I can take notes on my OneNote. And that combination is super productive.
You like to annotate so much that they distributed an annotated version as with your scribblings in the borders of Hit Refresh. So speaking of the book, one other thing that really stood out to me in the book was a phrase that you also used in your shareholder letter, and that was that the experience of Microsoft employees should match the expressed ethics of the company, and that there is a gap there. And that gap has come out in a variety of forms, including employees being public last year and earlier this year about discrimination and harassment at the company, which you've addressed and embraced their commentary. Why is that gap not smaller at this point in your tenure as CEO between expressed
That's right.
ethos and
That's right. I mean,
reality.
Yeah, because ultimately the measure of culture is really what's that impedance or distance between what is the espoused set of values and culture and what's the lived experience. And that, I think, is why I think it's an unfinished journey. And that's why I don't celebrate some destination that we've reached as far as our culture and even a single employee's experience not being what we espouse is something that we have to address. And I think when it comes to sort of diversity and inclusion, we have to make progress on representation first. And then the fact that representation can only happen if you have inclusiveness, and that's the hard work we have to do. We have to equip. One of the things that I'm even thrilled about is let's invest even in helping our own employees and managers in 2019 get more equipped to lead diverse teams, create that core respect inside of the organizations, create the necessary conditions, if you will. And one of the things that I'm thrilled about is this manager training that we've launched, which talks about, look, you have to model, you have to coach, you have to care. And this has to happen with every person in the company. And change, this is one of the things about human nature is all of us want change, except we want the other person to change. Whereas this is the moment of introspection for the 100,000 plus people at Microsoft, which is if we want to bring about change, each of us has to push ourselves to do the uncomfortable thing, which is we have to confront that distance and then bring about change. And that's what we're going to stay focused on.
At the same time, we've seen a wave of employee activism and especially a new generation of workers coming into the workforce being more open to speaking out about things such as relationships with government entities that they might not feel comfortable with. Has that kind of feedback from employees at all changed how you lead the company?
I mean, the one thing that I feel is super important for anyone like me is to respectfully, and that's the key word, hear all opinions inside the company. You can learn a thing, you can learn a lot from all of the various points of view. And in fact, when you go back to that core diversity and inclusiveness, it has to start with that. Where are they coming from? Why are they concerned? What is the source of their concern? And even as a senior leadership team, are you taking those seriously? Are you deliberating? And then, of course, you have to make decisions. This is not about us all 100,000 people agreeing on every issue all the time. But then even if we disagree, what are the principles? And then are we being transparent about what decisions we are making and the principles behind them? And that is the rich dialogue. I mean, that to me is what I think fundamentally an organization that has grown up in a country like the United States, which has got that core liberal values, that's the dialogue that needs to happen, where people need to be able to listen to each other, understand each other, and also be understood. And that to me is, I think, where we are developing, I think, a good sort of set of practices.
You're listening to the GeekWire podcast with Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella, and we'll be right back with more.
In the book, you talk about the key trends, the fundamental shifts that are taking place in AI, quantum computing, mixed reality, but all of that is underpinned by the cloud. A lot of it is underpinned by the cloud. And just in the past week, Microsoft won a major new contract, the U.S. Department of Defense JEDI Cloud contract, beating out Amazon Web Services, which some people consider to be the front runner. Some people in the industry were surprised by this, that Microsoft won this contract. Should they have been surprised?
I mean, to me, again, I go back to our mission, right? We don't celebrate, awarding of a contract. For us, we want to stay focused on, in this case, the Department of Defense, their mission, and how do we support them? I feel good about the fact that we were able to submit our proposal to their RFP and come out on the top. But this is just the start, and we now are very, very focused on ensuring that we meet their needs.
Do you think that politics, and specifically President Trump's stated objections to Amazon publicly, played any role in Microsoft's being awarded this contract?
To me, again, it goes back to, I think, if anything, Microsoft staying out of politics and staying focused on what the customer's needs are. And there are some core capabilities we have, which were always differentiated. And it's great to see that play out when it comes to how we built the cloud as a distributed computing fabric and hybrid being core to our design. Those are all things that I think in the end game really stood out. And to me, staying focused on our customer needs and our innovation and our differentiation, knowing that there's great competition is, I think, what we want to do.
The Seattle Sounders have a new ownership group of which you and your wife, Anu, are part. They surprised many in the league by making it to the MLS Cup. I know, obviously, cricket is easy for you to apply to business, as we know. Are there any lessons that you've learned from just even just this short time of watching the Sounders business that you've been able to apply to your own?
Well, I don't know if there is any great lessons I've learned, but I've learned one thing, which is how passionate, sports in general and team sports in general are just such amazing things in terms of creating energy in communities. And so the joy it brings to people is what's, I think, fantastic to see.
What do you think of the Sounders right now? How are you feeling as a new
one? I feel great. I mean, it's go Sounders.
Sachin Nadella, the paperback version of Hit Refresh comes out on November 5th. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
Before Sachin Nadella left the room, we talked about Microsoft's new Industry Experience Center, a facility that GeekWire had visited earlier in the day elsewhere at the company's Redmond headquarters. It represents the company's efforts to develop new technology in partnership with its customers, which prompted Nadella to return to the larger theme of Microsoft's evolving worldview.
Ultimately, we will be only successful if, in some sense, tech gets commoditized, which is kind of the one thing which is paradoxical about our business model, which is if it remains, few companies are doing all the tech capability building in the world, Microsoft won't exist. But if lots of companies are getting to build technology, then we will be fine.
For more from the interview with Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella, see geekwire.com or the show notes on this podcast. I'm GeekWire editor Todd Bishop. Thanks for listening.